Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. If you were among the millions of people to watch NBC's show The Voice in 2023, you've heard our next guest. But if you're not familiar with The Voice, it's a singing competition show where singers perform to celebrity musicians. And in the first round, it's a blind audition where the four celebrity judges have their backs turned to the performers. If the judges like what they hear, they hit a button and turn their chair around. If you get one judge to turn around, you're on their team. If more than one judge hits that button, then the singer gets to choose who to team up with. Well, when Ruby Lee auditioned, she got all four judges to turn their chairs during the blind audition, and she finished on the show as runner-up. Ruby is from the tiny town of Foley, Missouri, population 100, and it's about an hour's drive northwest of St. Louis along the Mississippi River. And Ruby Lee, who has just this past weekend celebrated her 18th birthday, joins me now to talk about her run on The Voice, her upbringing, and some upcoming shows. Ruby Lee, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be
and
here.
And happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
So let's begin with your being on The Voice. How did the opportunity to audition on the show come about?
Okay, so I'm going to try to make it short because it is a very, very long story. So I've been told by many people that, you know, The Voice has all these people that are, you know, scheduled to be on the show already. You know, like the auditions aren't really that real. It's a very, very small chance to make it because there's so many, you know, talent scouts and agencies getting these people on these shows.
Mm.
So I was just kind of like, oh, there's no point in auditioning. And my sister signed me up without me knowing.
Okay. As sisters often do.
Yes. And she signed me up for an audition, and I had no idea. And she told me the day of, 30 minutes before my audition, that I had an audition. And I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, you got to send in a virtual audition. You know, got to send in a video for The Voice. And I'm like, Grumpy, there's no chance that I'm going to make it. Her nickname's Grumpy, by the way.
Okay.
She's not actually Grumpy. So I was like, there's no chance that I'm going to make it, you know, with all these people. I mean, come on, like, let's be for real. I'm from this small town, you know, like, they're not going to want me. So my sister was like, okay, yeah, you may be right, you know, so now what? What do we do with it? You can't really just cancel it. And I was like, well, let's do something funny then. She's like, yeah, I like that idea. So I sang a bunch of rock songs dressed up as country as I could get. I mean, fringe. I had cowboy hat. I wanted them to look and be like, oh, here's a country girl. And then out of the blue, like, it's like something crazy, like Alice Cooper or something.
Okay. Oh, so, my gosh.
So that's what we sent in as my first virtual audition, and I made it through. And at that point, I was like, whoa, we're on the show. And
yeah,
then that was not the case. So we had many more rounds to go before you even get in front of the coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And it got to the point that after about five or six auditions, I had the producers reach out to me and say, we think you have a great country voice. Would you sing country songs? And I'm like, well, that's actually my genre. So yeah, I can do that. And after I sent in some country songs, I kept making it through, and I took it a whole lot more serious at that point. And in March, I got the call to, you know, fly out and do my audition, and I got four chairs, which I did not expect at all.
Yeah. And to that point, let's listen to your audition on The Voice. And it's a 1930s country and western song by Patsy Montana titled I Wanna Be a Cowboy Sweetheart.
Cowboys.
And that's Ruby Lee singing I Wanna Be a Cowboy Sweetheart. That was her audition on the 2023 season of The Voice, where she finished as runner-up. So, Ruby, I did not see this live in 2023. So as I was prepping for it, this conversation, and watching and listening to this audition, the yodeling came out of nowhere. I was not expecting it. How did you do that? Where does that skill come from?
So first off, I just want to say I come from the most non-musical family you've ever seen. It's actually sad. growing up, I started singing when I was 9 years old. I'm a self-taught singer. And I heard someone yodel, and I was like, oh my gosh, how do you do that? And I immediately, as any kid did, I ran to my parents and I was like, guys, how do you do this? And they're like, I have no idea. I don't know what that even is. And I kept prepping and working on it and just trying to imitate what I heard. And eventually I was able to break my voice, which is the proper yodel, which is why you hear those like little breaks in there.
Right, right.
And once I got it, I just never strayed from it. I kept doing it, you know. It's not always my claim to fame, I guess.
Right. Now, you know, during the audition, we see your family, I presume,
yes,
reacting to your singing. And it's quite emotional. There are some tears, some fist pumping happening. When you watch that video now, what is it that goes through your mind?
You know, coming from such a small town, we had no idea how that was going to go, you know. And it was kind of... It was an emotional moment for me, especially just because, especially getting four chairs, we were only expecting hopefully one. You know, we had no idea. And we were just hoping that Reba would turn. We thought that was our only shot. And then obviously John Legend turned first. And we were really hoping that something would happen. And I've had a lot of people that kind of put me down in the beginning of my music when I was even 9 years old, telling me that I was just a novelty act because I yodeled, you know, that I'd never make it far because it was just because I was a little kid, you know.
Yeah.
And hearing that, it was just kind of like, okay, well, maybe they're right. You know, what if they're right? And going out there and then doing that, seeing my parents cry, you know, just seeing how proud they were, you know, it makes me emotional still to watch it. And I just remember looking back at my parents after, as soon as I got done finishing singing, and I looked over and they're crying, and then I'm getting emotional. I'm trying to talk to the coaches and I'm crying.
Right.
It's like, but yeah, you know, it's just it's great to go back and watch it and see, you know, just how real it was.
Mm-hmm. Now, I understand that part of the show and moving through it is receiving voice coaching, so. That was the first time you'd ever received formal instruction?
Yes.
What was that like?
You know, I went in and they're really, it made me feel good. And I don't know how to say this and not like sound arrogant about it. So
I don't
want you to take it that
way. Do your thing.
But there wasn't really anything that they taught me that I didn't know, which I was thankful that I taught myself the right way, you know? And when we went in, most of the times we wouldn't even sing the songs that we were doing, you know, for the next round. We would just do a bunch of songs. I was like, you know, we got 30 minutes and, you know, you said that you know how to, that I know how to do this song. So can I work on this song with you or can I sing this song with you? And so we'd just sing a bunch of these different songs together. And that was great. So it wasn't a very stressful time, you know.
Yeah.
It was fun. I enjoyed it.
It must have been affirming in a lot of different ways then.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned Reba. Reba McEntire is a country music legend, and she's whom you chose to pair up with.
Yes.
But you said that John Legend was the first one to turn around.
Yes.
Why did you choose Reba?
You know, honestly, going into it, like I said, we thought maybe Reba would be the only one that would have, you know, the gumption to turn, you know, that would want to turn just because of the music I sing, you know. It's like, why would John Legend turn for yodeling, you know, or anyone else, as a matter of fact. And going into it, when she turned, it was like, wow. And eventually all of them, I actually, this is very true, I was really torn between her and Niall Horan.
Okay.
Yes, and they didn't air a lot of it. They cut a lot of it out, but Niall was fighting really hard for me, and I was like, oh my gosh, you know, like Reba's just sitting there and I was like, does she really want me or does she think I'm just going to pick her because I'm country?
Sounds very country, actually.
Yeah, so I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? And then she used her one trick, which is where the audience put up the cardboard hair.
Right, right.
And that each coach only gets one of those per season. And she used hers on me, which is like a, hey, I really want you. So
I
was like, I'm going with Reba.
Okay, it was the sign that you needed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. On that note about being self-taught, I mean, there's, you can learn all kinds of things, for better or worse, from YouTube and other places.
Yes.
How is it that you taught yourself?
You know, honestly, I sang a lot. There was nothing really ever super technical that I looked up. A lot of it was listening to people that I idolized and mm-hmm. really looked up to, like Loretta Lynn and people like that. And I would just listen to how they sang, not necessarily what they sang, but how they did it, you know. Mm-hmm. And I would really get, I'd listen very closely to what they were doing with their voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just imitate that as much as I could. And I guess I taught myself the right way by doing it that way.
Yeah.
So I don't have anything like super technical
right,
to tell you.
Right.
But yeah, so it was kind of just listening to other people and what they did.
Mm-hmm. I'm talking with Ruby Lee. The 18-year-old finished as runner-up on the 2023 season of The Voice. And in the last year, she's performed on the Grand Ole Opry stage twice and with the punk rock band Green Day. Ruby Lee will perform at the Merrimack Music Theater in Steelville, Missouri, this Saturday at 6 o'clock. She'll also be headlining the Laclede County Fair on July 8th. Now, Ruby, before we get any further, let's listen to an original of yours. This is your 2024 song, Love's Like a Rose. That's Ruby Lee's original song, Love's Like a Rose, that she released last year. Ruby, the song, its lyrics, its sound, where did the inspiration for this come from? Was it like a specific moment or, you know, a feeling in a very particular place?
You know, I've never dated anybody, so I don't draw from really my own experiences. I draw from other people. A lot of people come through my shows. Like, I have free meet and greets at the end of all of my shows, and people just tell me, you know, their stories, you know, mm-hmm. stories about their life or something that a song that I sang has brought back a memory of. And, you know, I wanted to write a song, a love song, you know, about people that, you know, break up and fall apart and think that they'll never love anybody again and then find new people and, you know, just, you know, it opens a whole new door in their life. And that's what I was really hoping to write about. And I thought a clever way of doing that was like a rose, you know, like the song tells the story of a rose, you know, portraying love. In the beginning, you know, it's growing, you know, you think you love this person. And then eventually in the middle of the song, it's like, I don't really love this person anymore. And they find new people and the rose starts to die. And at the end of the song, the rose starts to grow again because, you know, they found that new spark to make them happy. So There's not really anything specifically that I draw from in my life, but I do draw from other people's stories.
Mm-hmm. Now, we mentioned earlier, Ruby, that you're from and live in Foley, Missouri.
Yes.
That's a town of about 100 people. That's an hour or so's drive northwest of St. Louis. When you finished that song, Love's Like a Rose, who did you share it with in your community?
You know, honestly, there are not a lot of people that I know in my hometown. Like, we're not close with everyone there, you know. Not like we want to be or don't want to be. It's just we're not close to anyone that lives around us,
sure,
you know.
Sure, sure.
So we don't really have, like, neighbors that are super close to us. So it was really kind of just showing my family and the people I produced it and recorded it with. And I had a second co-writer on that song. Mm-hmm. His name was Christopher Mark Gray. And we would really listen to it and do calls and talk about it and try to make it as great as possible, you know, because we really wanted people to enjoy it. And so it was a very close-knit circle that we were showing it to. So mm-hmm. it was in the family.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit more about your community. You know, you said that you're not, like, literally close to many
yes.
people. And I understand there isn't a gas station even in
no.
your town. Yeah, what is your community like?
It's very small and rural. It's just the average country town, I'd like to say. We have obviously farm animals around us. We don't, because we could not take care of them with how gone we are most of the time.
Okay.
But, you know, there's a lot of, you know, farming that happens around us. We just got a Dollar General, so we're very proud of that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
We just got a Dollar General. We have one flashing stoplight, and that's about it. And there's not much to do. And coming from such a small town, like being on The Voice, you know, there's so many kids there that turn to doing the wrong things and, you know, don't want to, they just don't think that they can do anything bigger than where they live, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I felt the same way too. And eventually I just was like, I'm just going to do it. You know, I'm just going to do it. And if it happens, it happens. And then The Voice came and all of this, all this other stuff. And it was just so, so exciting. Like, my goal right now is just, if I can inspire one person, not even just a kid, just one person that may live in a small town, like, you don't have to do the wrong things, because it doesn't matter about how small your town is. There's a whole world out there of people that would love to hear you, you
yeah.
know. And I say, you know, don't let your surrounding limit your dreams,
mm-hmm.
you know. So that's kind of the thing, like a very, very small town, rural. We're up on a hill, so
yeah,
yeah, we're surrounded by woods. So
well, you have made it out of or away from those woods a number of times, and in the past year
yes.
you've performed not just once but twice at the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville, and that is country music's biggest stage.
Yes.
What was going through your body when you stepped into that famous Grand Ole Opry circle?
You know, ever since I was 9 years old, playing the Grand Ole Opry has been my biggest dream over anything in life. That's all I've ever wanted. And after The Voice, just 4 months later, I got the call from, you know, only to be invited from an artist that plays at the Opry is incredible, to play the Opry with them. But I got invited by the actual Opry themselves, which is an even bigger deal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, very rare that they invite someone. So it was just an absolute incredible moment. I got to bring some of The Voice band with me.
Oh, okay.
So that was really cool. I had Paul Markovich playing keyboard, and he's the band leader for The Voice. And he flew in from California to play there with me because he'd never played there before.
Oh.
And I also had Don McLean's drummer playing behind me, John McTeague. And it was just the most fulfilling moment. I had a lot of people in the crowd that were there to see me, and even just seeing the new faces, it was just mind-blowing being able to step into the circle. I broke down and I was crying on stage.
Oh, okay.
And I managed to pull it together. But
right.
Yeah, it was a very, very emotional day.
That's very special.
Yes.
I want to ask you about your favorite band. Okay. And that is Green Day. Yes. So you were at their show as an audience member last August near Kansas City. Tell us what happened there.
So one thing that almost everyone knows about me at this point is I am a huge Green Day fan. I'm a country girl to the core, but I love Green Day. And I begged my mom to take me for my birthday to their concert. We went to their St. Louis show originally on the 15th of August. And I had tickets even while I was on The Voice. I was so excited to come back home and go to that show.
Yeah.
And we went to the St. Louis show, and I had a sign that said, "Can I please play Good Riddance with you?" And three songs before Good Riddance, it got rained out. So they left, and I was heartbroken. I was at the front of the stage, and you know, it was pouring rain, and I'm crying, and I'm like telling my mom, I'm like, "Oh my gosh," he was pointing at me, like, "I know he would have called me up." And my mom was like, okay, we'll see where their next show is. Maybe we can make that one.
Oh.
And their next show was in Minnesota. My mom was like, "Yeah,
oh
no.
Yeah, not there." Uh-huh.
Not there. And then their next show was in Bonner Springs, Kansas. So my mom was like, "Okay, get tickets for that." And it was 5 days later. And I was like, "Okay, let's go. So we go and we travel. We get there, and I got in the second row. And I was holding up my sign, and the whole night I was like, "Just please notice me, like please see me." And it just said, "I'm 17. Can I please play Good Riddance with you?" And he saw it, and he called me up, and I performed it with him, and it was the most life-changing moment. It was just a few days after the Opry too, so it was like my two biggest dreams happened, you know, in the same month. So it was awesome.
Mm-hmm. And in our last, you know, minute and a half or so, Ruby, what is it that is next for you?
You know, I'm trying to do the bigger things. I want to play festivals and fairs and really anywhere I can play. But I want to play, you know, the bigger stages, opening for bigger artists, you know. But obviously the Merrimack Music Theater is coming up next on the 24th. And I'm so excited for that. So hopefully I'll see some new people there. And it's going to be so fun. I'm going to have a meet and greet after the show. It's free, of course. And I'm going to be celebrating my 18th birthday there. So I'm going to have my party there, and we're going to have a blast. It's going to be so much fun.
And before we end, we do want to play a little bit of the audio from that life-changing experience you had playing the guitar. And we're going to hear lead singer Billy Joe Armstrong's first, and then you.
Another turning point, a fork stuck in the road. Time grabbed you by the wrist, direct you where to go.
Don't make the best of these tests, and don't ask why. It's not a question, but a lesson learned in time. It's something unpredictable, but in the end it's right. I hope you've had the time of your life.
Ruby Lee is a country music artist from Foley, Missouri, and the runner-up in the 2023 season of The Voice. She'll be performing this Saturday at 6 at the Merrimack Music Theater in Steelville, Missouri. She'll also be headlining the Laclede County Fair on July 8th.
For what it's worth, it was worth all the while.
It's something unpredictable, but in the end it's right. I hope you have the time of your life.
This episode was produced, recorded, and edited by Alex Hoyer.
It's something unpredictable, but in the end it's right. I hope you have the time of your life.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Unpredictable, but in the end it's right. I hope you had the time of your life.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.